Today we have a special opportunity, and that's asking Brother Jagdish very nice questions, secrets about his personal spiritual life. So Brother Jagdish,
hello.
Welcome, and nice
Thank
to
you.
See you again. It's on behalf of everyone I'm asking you these questions, but it's also my personal interest. So, we all came to know you as a very balanced personality. On one hand, you're very serious, but you have a lot of humor, good sense of humor. But you have very good jokes. You're very humorous too. You are able to go into the depth of things, but you're also very light. And then you are mature. You're very experienced in life, but you're also innocent like a child.
I think you know more than I do.
Well, this is the proof of what I said.
Thank you for the compliments.
Okay.
Then so today I know myself more than I did earlier.
Okay. So there's one balance I like to ask you about a little bit more. On one hand, you're a very good speaker. You're very sharp in knowledge. But I also know you're very loving and you're a very deep and compassionate yogi. So my question to you is, in your yogi life, which role does silence play in your connection? Silence in your connection with Baba. Which role does silence play in your connection with Baba?
Which role you are asking?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about it?
Which role I had?
No. Silence, which role silence plays in your yogi life?
That's not very clear to me. Would you repeat it again?
Yes. I said on one hand you're very gyani, you're very sharp, you know how to speak
that
very
okay,
well.
That I understand.
Okay, one second.
I understand about me better than other things. Yes.
And then on the other hand, you are a very good yogi with a lot of love and compassion.
Mm.
So now my question is about your yogi life. Because Gyan we can hear, yogi life we can see and feel. So silence plays an important role in your yogi life. So I'd like to ask you to tell us a little bit about the experience of silence you are having in meditation.
Actually, the experiences of silence is not merely when I am specially in meditation, but in other parts of the day also I experience silence. From the very first day when I came to this institution, it usually was my practice to get up at 2 in the morning, 2 after midnight. I was told in my bhakti days, God is at his best at 2 o'clock. He can give you easily an appointment at that time. So I used to get up at 2 o'clock. It's not that I used to set an alarm, but the bioclock. I just thought that I would get up at this time and I would automatically wake up. And I would experience as if I am with Baba. At that time, naturally, even physically also, there would be no one there. And spiritually also I would feel that I am with him. There was silence in the atmosphere, in the environment, silence in the room where I was, and silence inside. And when I remembered Baba at that time, I experienced deep silence. Again, when I came to this institution, earlier than that, when I was a school going child, it usually happened with me that I suddenly went into a kind of a semi-trance, you can say. The environment would disappear from my sight. I would feel that I am in a sea of light, floating in a sea of light. Very deep silence, very deep peace. So at that time, I could not understand what it was due to. So I used to ask my seniors, my elders, in Bhakti Marg, what was it? Why it happened? They said maybe that in your past life, you have been doing lot of bhakti or some kind of meditation. So then also I experienced silence. That is a long story. But just to be short, in order to keep myself confined to the question you have put me, I would say, I love silence, and therefore, the nature of my work also is that I can perform it better if I am in silence. Because Baba made me an instrument for dissemination of the knowledge. So how can I do it unless and until it is deeply set in my own mind, unless and until I myself realize it. And Baba has blessed me with silence, I should say. I have that kind of experience. So, silence played a great role in my life, in my self-transformation. Even in my writing work. Earlier, when I wrote the real Gita, and in Hindi it was known as the Sachi Gita, that is out of print. It has been out of print for many years. I am now getting it printed in the near future. So, we printed only 2,000 copies at that time. And I think more than 1,000 people came to Gyan. It was because when I was writing, my pen was on the paper. I felt that Baba is doing this. And I was in deep silence. I experienced it. Suppose I am writing about Paramdham, about the soul world. I felt that I am in the soul world. Writing about Shiv Baba, I am experiencing Shiv Baba. So, not that I experienced silence only when I was meditating specially, but as I had said earlier, while I was doing my work, the nature of my work being such that I experienced silence. But gradually, I was given some organizational work, administrative work, and there was a lot of turmoil in the earlier days. I had to face the public opposition on behalf of the institution. Some people entered into litigation. I had to go to the court and to attend to such cases and so on. But even then, I am very grateful to Baba because of his blessings. I had that special gift of silence from him.
Because you are also the spokesman of the university.
Baba said it so.
Well, that's what you're doing. So how do you combine speaking and silence? While speaking, how do you keep your mind silent?
I feel as if it is coming. And my mind works very easily. It's not that I have to exert myself much. In order to just turn, for example, to go deeper into one point, it's not that I have to spend hours or that I have to do some labor, some laborious work on my part. As the rain drops from the clouds, the knowledge comes from Baba directly to me. I feel it's coming. Like the milk, it comes from the udders of the cow. It comes to me from Baba. So then also I feel silence.
Some Brahmins, they say, that it's very difficult if you have to use your intellect and to be silent and in remembrance at the same time. They say when you're using your hands, it's easy to remember Baba and to be silent, but when you have to think and working on a computer or things like that, they feel it's more difficult.
Intellect and silence are not opponents. They don't have any kind of an enmity between them. They are not at loggerheads with each other. They can go together, provided I feel that this intellect is given by Baba. I surrender myself to him totally. Baba used to call me Ganesh very often. Even during the course of the Murli, those Murlis are not available because you have Murlis only of 6 or 5 years. Earlier on, he used to call, even in the Murlis, Ganesh. And you know, Ganesh, Ganpati, is shown with the head of an elephant. Why? It's symbolic. Because they say that this head of a human being, which he earlier had, that was cut off. And because of some surgery, as God is the greatest surgeon, He could transplant even the head. People have been able to transplant hearts, now perhaps livers, some other things. But God transplanted this head on me, cutting away, removing my human head. So if the intellect comes from Him, then I think my intellect, even if it is busy with work, it is with Baba. There is no problem, I feel. But of course, there are some tricky questions in life. Certain moments of irritation, provocation, temptation. When you see a lot of injustice, when you see there is a lot of cruelty, people are so wicked, misbehaving with each other. Even among the yogis, the bhikkhus, and elsewhere, when you feel that the values are not being properly observed, then perhaps you may have some pinpricks in your life. So at that time it may appear for a while that you are losing your silence. But I personally feel values are not just to be kept in a locker. They are to be used. If I believe in justice, I should see that the justice is done. Not merely I have to speak and lecture on justice or to write about justice, but as a human being, as a BK, as a humble yogi, if I can make some effort to get somebody some justice, to wipe the tears from the face of someone who has been tortured, whom justice has not been done, if I do that, I feel more happy. So, on such moments when I feel that the values have been neglected, overthrown, the road roughshod on it by people, then of course, I sometimes, maybe for a little while, be losing my silence, inner silence. Outwardly, I have to keep in silence, because I am an instrument, I am doing Baba's service. Maybe that people feel that inwardly I have that kind of a wave in my mind. But from reading history extensively and intensively, I know how cruel a man has been to other men. And therefore, I feel if those things continue even today, when God has come and is giving us such a beautiful knowledge, then I think I am called upon to do my duty. Not just to sit tight in my seat and doing nothing. Witness consciousness does not mean that I should, silence does not mean that I am not to speak. When you just know the story of Mahabharata, you know when Draupadi, she was being veered, her sari was being taken away from her, and the acharyas, Dronacharya, Bhishma Pitama, the great warriors, those who were considered to be great leaders, very near the throne, they kept silent. Other hours of the time, they were giving instructions to people that they should have courage, this and all that. But when this was practically happening, they kept silent. So I feel they did very wrong. It is a story, symbolical. And I think I should not repeat the same thing. If this thing happens, I should jump into the fray and do something, if I can do it. And that has helped me a lot, because earlier on, in the course of the spread of this institution, there was really a lot of criticism, lot of opposition, people being very bitterly opposed to the institution. And I had to face them, because at that time there were only 5 or 6 brothers, dedicated brothers in this institution, when I came. Now some of them are no more, only 3 are alive. So it was for years. It is from 1971 that other brothers dedicated. Before 71 or 69, we were only 5 or 6 at the most. So I had to rush from here to there, from there to there, just to face public opposition. And then I thought, silence to me does not mean that I should do nothing. Silence means I should have inward peace, empower myself by being in yoga with God, and do something. That is what silence means.
Thank you. You talk a lot about relationships. For many years you do, but I feel the last few years you talk a lot about relationships also between yogis. And yesterday in your class...
Relationship between what?
Yogis. And yesterday in your class, you said, don't spoil your relationships with each other. In what way are you putting this idea? Because Baba also said in the Muli of the 15th, don't quarrel, stop quarreling. So here we are in this spiritual gathering and we are still quarreling and we are still having negative feelings for one another. What is the future of this?
I think what I mean is that we should observe some grace. There should be some royalty in our manners. We should be dignified in our behavior. We should respect every human individual. Even if somebody is misbehaving with me, insulting me, criticizing me, so when I say that I should not spoil my relations with him, now here is a breaking point. Here the relationship can break. But I feel, if I talk to that person in a loving tone and observe my balance of mind, don't lose my temper, and I consider the dignity of that person, he has the freedom to differ from me, and it is up to him how he behaves. So then, if not now, that person will realize later that I have not been bad to him, that I have been nice to that person. So that relationship will not have some kind of a breach, some kind of a gulf. That relationship can be easily restored. And even on other times, suppose I am staying with somebody, working together with some other people, then when I say that I should not spoil my relationships, maybe some people, because of certain reasons, have tension in their life. They shout, they talk very loudly. Unexpectedly, they are very rough in their manners. I should understand there is some reason. Today it seems to me that they are a little disturbed. I shouldn't mind it, you see. I should be nice to them, smile at them, try to help them out of the situation. So I should try to adjust. That's what I mean to say. That is what to me means not spoiling the relationship.
Are you always able to do that?
Pardon?
Are you yourself always able to do that?
Not always, I would say. Otherwise, I would go to Paramdham by now. But you know, I am here on this stage, in Gyan Sarovar, to a great extent, I should say. I am surrounded on all sides by people who are very strange, very rough, not to my liking. I am in the thick of the battle, I tell you. Just to be plain and frank, I differ a lot from other people in many ways. In their mannerism, their etiquettes, their way of behaving, their being over ambitious and many other things. They seem to be very pushing, very smart and so on. So I have to bear with them. So that is what I mean by not spoiling the relationship. That even when all these things happen, as a yogi, as a jnani, I am supposed to maintain my calm, my balance, my peace of mind, not to lose it. That's what I mean. And to a great extent, that is what has given me maturity. I am successful. Even on behalf of the institution, when we want to go to meet some government officials, they have heard some wrong things about the institution. Sometimes they speak very badly. We have to bear with them. So you have to change them by your own self-transformation and by your own waves and vibrations of peace. You have to give them peace of mind. That is what you have to do. So to that extent, I think I am successful. Otherwise, I passed through certain situations when I was just on the point of being killed. Sometimes the opposition was so harsh, so violent, people were ready to put me to death by means of daggers, you see, mobs of them. If I had just lost my balance, spoken even a word which was wrong at that time, I wouldn't be sitting here today. Then again, I would be in some other form, you see. But just at that time, to hold myself, hold my tongue, you see, to be quiet, to look into their eyes, he is a soul, she is a soul, child of God. God is the giver of peace. I must give this person peace. He is losing the peace. All these things, all this knowledge help me solve that situation.
So you also talk about controlling power.
Talked about?
Controlling power, to know when to stop, when to speak, mm-hmm. when to be silent.
Yeah.
So you will be ready by next week? Baba gave us 50 days.
And then also, you see, not only not to speak and to stop and all that, but also when to speak.
Mm-hmm.
That also is essential. In matters of administration, if you keep silent, you don't speak, it doesn't work. Sometimes you have to speak.
Balance.
To certain people who do certain very wrong things again and again repeatedly, you have to speak. So that also is a controlling power. Controlling power does not only mean not to speak, see, or to speak with restraint or so on. That of course is there. But at the same time, to speak effectively. So that if you want to communicate to somebody, it should hit somebody's mind. It should have the proper effect. Somebody should get the message, what you mean. What you say is what you mean. They should understand. Politely, in a dignified manner, sweet manner, loving manner, but in a strong voice. Means using those words where they understand. Today Jagdish Bhai seems to be serious. This is something what he is saying from his deep heart. You are saying that I joke, I smile and all that. I do that, no doubt. But sometimes I have to speak, you see. If I am a spokesman, I have also to speak.
So Baba gave us 15 days till the next meeting in order to be self-rulers.
And now many days have already passed.
Yeah, there's only 1 week to go. So.
Yet it is not too late. See,
we still have 7 days. Okay.
Still, those efforts can be made. You must determine in your mind, come what may, whatever the situation, I will fulfill the expectation of Baba. And deeply committed. There will be provocations, irritations and other things where I will be losing my control. But I am sure I will not be losing my control this time. 15 days is not a long period. If I can't do it for 15 days, then how can I get the governing power in golden age even for 15 months? I don't deserve it. You see, it's a big gamble, a big bargain. But just for 15 days, you observe this balance for 15 days and Baba gives you so much. You understand? Baba says, matta satta, you know those people who get the roughage and they give in return to you some utensils, some household articles, new ones of plastic, of steel, of copper, of other things. Here in India, that is what is generally done. People come to your streets and they sell their wares. They say, new lamps for the old one, for example. You get these, just give us some rags, some torn clothes, which are not usable by you. So because of them, they give so much. And Baba does not even expect that much. He is prepared to give us so much. I think it will be the greatest fault on us, on our part. Greatest failure. Mind you, I repeat it again, greatest failure on our part. If even within these 15 days, you see, let us swear, within these 15 days, Baba, we are going to do it, whatever happens, you see. Now that 15 days are not there, we have already lost some days, so still there are some days. They say better late than never. So even now we must make some efforts. Difficulties will come.
Yesterday, you spoke about the art of listening.
Art of?
Listening.
Listening?
Yes.
So therefore, I am making it in place so that I can listen. Yes.
But then you said, it is also very important to listen to your inner voice, to your conscience. conscience and intellect are very much connected, isn't it?
Actually, I was referring to three additional ways of listening. Some of the kinds of listening are already known to us. From our childhood, babyhood, we listen. So that is commonplace listening, usual, everyone knows. But I was referring to three additional kinds of listening. One, as I said, was listening to the voice of your conscience. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Baba said, my sweet child, my beloved child, don't do this. The conscience raises the voice. Being a yogi, you are doing this. It is wrong on your part. Don't do this. Baba gave you 15 days. And within 15 days you have to make this effort. But you are not doing proper effort. And on the other hand, you are disobeying him. Don't disobey, don't disobey. I don't listen. I will say, I will teach this man a lesson. He has been always misbehaving with me. So I don't listen to that voice. Many of the murders, many of the rapes, many of the crimes are committed because people don't listen to the voice of their conscience. I visited some jails, asked some prisoners, why you did this? Didn't you have a voice in you that you should not do this? They said, definitely we had. It was a strong voice. But we felt at that time a very strong urge, stronger than even the voice. In a moment of that, in the heat of that moment, we did it. The voice was there, provided we would have listened to it. So, this is one kind of listening. The other is, suppose your telephone is always busy and someone is trying to call you, but your receiver is not in its place. All the time you are holding it on to your ear and your mouth, calling somebody. So how can he contact you on your telephone? Your number is busy. He can't contact you. He has to give you a very urgent message, very important, that can save your life, or that can give you a great benefit from something. But he is unable to contact you, because you are holding the telephone all the time to yourself. So one of the principles of telephoning is, even if you have to call somewhere, and it is an urgent call you have to make, at least for a few seconds, maybe a part of a minute, you put back the receiver. So that if someone is calling you, he should also be able to call you. Or at least you should have two telephones, one for outgoing, the other for incoming calls. If you just have one telephone and you go on using it for a long time, just talking, reading the whole Murli on telephone, you see. So how can the other one contact you? This is actually the case with us. All the time we are thinking of human beings, of the work which we have to do, the problems we are faced with. We never put up the receiver. Never are we free in our mind, so that if Baba wants to speak to us, he can speak to us. So we are not listening to Baba. We are listening to human beings, not to Baba. So listening to conscience is one thing. Listening to Baba is another thing. Just after your morning meditation, just for say, if you don't have more time, even for 10 or 15 minutes, be yourself, alone. Don't even meditate in that formal way. I am a soul, I am a point of light, God is a point of light, He is in the soul world, God is my beloved Father, all these. Don't go on using all these thoughts. Don't be in your mind. Think nothing. Absolutely nothing. No problem. No worry. No job. No work which is left. Not even remembering Baba, just with the consciousness that you are living it free for Baba. If Baba wants to say, Baba, what is to be done? Now Baba, I leave this telephone for you. If you want to speak to me, if there is some message you want to give me, Baba, I am available on the phone. You will get a call. Because Baba is listening, you are not listening. When you have this thought in your mind, Baba, I want to listen something from you, Baba will speak to you. You see, that is another kind of listening. And the third kind of listening is listening to those who are your well-wishers. You listen to many people. They have their motives, I tell you. They have prejudices. Some are biased. They have a preconditioned mind. What they are telling is polluted, everything. You can't always understand why they are saying what they are saying, what their motives and intentions are behind it. But there are certain people who are your well-wishers. Everyone's well-wishers. Dadi ji, Dadi Janki, Gulzar Dadi, some other seniors, you see. Listen. You are not listening to them, listening to other things. They are special people who really love you. They want to give you some benefit. If you don't listen to them, you will be the loser, you see. So this is another kind of listening. Listening is that if somebody has come to me with a complaint and I am an administrative officer, that I must listen. I am a company manager, some foreman comes to me and tells me his problem, I should listen. That I am in the family, somebody wants to speak something, there is something he wants to communicate, I should listen. All that kind of listening people are talking about. But during the period of your life, you must have observed and found and experienced there are some people who really love you without any selfish motive. You must listen to them. Must listen to them. However wise you may be, your intellect may say one thing. They are saying something opposite to it. But you must listen to them. You are listening to your own intellect, to your own mind, but not listening to them. You see, that's another kind of listening.
You yourself have a lot of respect for the Dadis, don't you?
And naturally, it means I think I should have.
But you have.
Mm-hmm. Everyone should have. And that is based on the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mind really feels it, how loving they are, how spiritualized, how divinized they are, how pure they are, what kind of sacrifices they have made, what kind of divine instruments they are of Baba. If I don't listen to them, I will be the loser, you see. I listen to them.
You also said that to have attachment to your own ideas is a big problem.
You have a complaint against it? I don't think so. There are many ideas we have to surrender. We have many meetings. Suppose I have a project in mind. I want to do something. I am very much fascinated with that idea. I think it would be very wonderful if it is worked out, if it is put into practice. People should do it. I feel a great urge, like the pangs of birth. A child is being born and the mother feels the pain at that time. And similarly, I may also feel this idea is born and I feel it should go out and people should accept it. Everyone wants that his or her baby should be accepted, you see. So should my idea, like a baby, should be accepted and fondled, you see. Someone should give the tie, others should just this do and other things. But what does surrender mean? After having spoken about it, told about its merits, you have to work together as a team. It's an institution. Individuals are different. I am not an institution in myself. I am a part of this. So maybe however wise I am and however good is my idea, people don't accept it, you see. So I should go on pressing and asking people, you have not understood it, please do it, you must do it. I get offended, I get displeased. That is a wrong thing. So it is not that I have attachment with that. Of course, when the idea comes to you and your mind really feels that it is a brilliant idea, you like it. Naturally, you express that it is a good idea. Being a witness conscious, in an impartial way, you have to mention it. If you don't mention it, people don't know about it, the idea will go. You are killing your own baby. Don't kill your own baby, tell them how good it is. But if they say, no, it is the weeping child, and they don't accept it, let them not, you see. So forget about it. Surrender yourself. That is what I do. So no attachment in that sense.
You said a few things about attachment yesterday.
About?
Attachment. But there is something else I like to ask you about attachment. Yesterday you said, if you analyze, then you realize that first there is attachment, and then there is sex lust and ego. And Baba always says, first there is body consciousness and ego, and then all the others are coming. Can you explain this a little bit further?
At different times, different processes work. In the Gita, for example, there is a shloka, a verse, and it is said, Dhyayate Vishyan Punsa Teshu Sangam Upajayate. What happens is, you think of something. Man is a thinking person. Because we are alive, we have consciousness. I think of something. This glass, beautiful glass, very good glass, size is okay, color is okay, so on so. Again and again I think. What happens is, I form an attachment. And then you say, I like it. At that time the attachment is mild. It is not very strong. You can give it up also. Because it is not deeply etched. At that time you can win over it, conquer it. So then you generally express it by saying, I like this. I like ice cream. I like pakoras, samosas, gulab jamuns, you see. This thing, that thing and the other thing. So, that is what happens. Then, so he says, Dhyayate Vishyana Punsa Teshu Sangopajayate Sangat Bhavati Kama Kamat Krodhavijayate. Then, Kama, you have desire. Now that likeness, you previously you liked it. Now you desire it. Your liking has become strong. You see. It has now taken the form of desire, ambition. You can't be without it. To say, I want to get it. I want even to pay about it. There was a person, an industrialist, the head of an industrial group. He came to our institution. He used to have pickles and condiments. He was very fond of them. Must have started earlier in his childhood. And whichever pickles and condiments were available in any part of India, he would just take up his telephone and call them. They knew that he is fond of them. He paid them handsomely. So he would ask them, by the next available plane, please send those condiments to me. He couldn't do it without it, you see. Another man was so fond of certain sweets that he would remember know which sweet in Calcutta, which in Delhi, which in Odisha, which in UP, which sweet is available in any part of India. Very good sweet. So he had contacts with them, their telephone number, everything. And he would ask them to send it by courier service immediately. That kind of sweet, you see. Because they couldn't be without it. So, Sangat upajayate kama, kamat krodho vijayate. So from that desire, from that previously you liked it, now you desire it. Or you can say, you desire it so strongly, you see. Kama, kamat krodho vijayate. When your desires are not fulfilled, then you become angry. When the child asks for a tie, on this my birthday, give me a motorcycle. Daddy, you are listening? If you don't give me motorcycle, I won't talk to you. I won't come back to this house. So he wants that motorcycle. And if the motorcycle is not brought on that very day, even if it is late by one day for certain reasons, he gets angry. So kamat krodho bhi jayate. So when there is anger, from anger is desire, from desire is born anger. You see. Then what happens? Krodha bhavati sammoha. Then from anger, your mind is blurred. Your intellect does not work. You just see an angry man. His face is changed. His muscles get tough. The voice is changed. And the words he uses and the balance he loses. He is like a semi-mad person. A man in krodh, anger, you know. So his wits are lost. His intellect is lost. Krodhat bhavati sammoha. Then moha buddhi bhrensha. From that, he absolutely, his intellect is derailed. He is not able to think, judge, decide properly. And from that, it says, he meets the destruction. He loses everything. If the intellect is lost, everything is lost. Therefore, Baba says, vinasha kale viparita buddhi. You see, the destruction takes place when the intellect of the human beings is lost. And you know the human beings have lost their intellect. They are spending trillions of dollars on weapons when there are billions of poor people in this world. You could totally wipe out the poverty from the face of the earth if you spend that much money on eradication of poverty. But just see their intellect having gone wrong, they are spending on weapons. Whereas in the Asian countries, people don't go for education. They have no schools, no school books, no blackboards, no chalk, no teacher, no chair, you see. And they are spending on destruction. So their intellect is lost. And the best brains, the scientists, making so many inventions, knowing fundamental physics, atomic physics and so on, they all, the NASA and other thing, people, they all, the good scientists, the good brains, they are using for the nuclear weapons, for weapons of destruction. And then the youth who could till the land, so much crops could be made and many people could be fed, hunger would be removed, there would be no starvation, no malnutrition, but the youth are being in the military, you see. Just sitting so that whenever there is war, they are ready with their gun and so on. So their intellect having gone wrong, everything is gone wrong. So of course it is correct, certain things, attachment. But in other cases, other things may happen. So attachment is the first, as I explained to you. That is the genesis of the trouble. But attachment is caused by just remembering, being with people again and again. I live with somebody for a number of years. I love that person. I live in a particular room. I sit in a particular bed. Use a particular sofa. I develop attachment. Attachment is a root trouble, no doubt. But the attachment also comes from this. So therefore Baba says, don't be attached to one center, to one person. Just keep on moving, changing, shifting. You see.
And in particular, how does sex lust develop itself after attachment?
Sex lust is born out of attachment?
Yeah, that's what you said yesterday.
Yeah. Because actually, a human mind, every human mind, has got certain images. It wants to match those images with people whom he comes in contact with. So a person may be having a feeling of sex lust, even with the ugliest person, you see. This man is loving that lady for sex, he is trying, and that lady is the ugliest one, you see. Has absolutely no beauty. Her nose is like the hoof of a horse, you see. Her ears are like the ears of an elephant, you know, and so on and so forth. But you can't understand why this person is after this lady, you see. Opposite gender, they love. Why it happens? Man becomes blind. Every evil, every vice makes us blind. We can't see. We can't see. Later on, when we see that the result has been very bad, adverse for us, then only we see. But then it is too late. At that time, people advise him not to do this. We can get you a beautiful girl if you want to marry. In our own society, we have people who are highly educated, intellectual, good looking, but no, I want to marry this girl.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because last is intellect again. So what I was saying was this kind of, I mean, thing. There are images in our mind. We want to match with them. So maybe from the previous life, this person has been carrying some images of some people with whom they have some kind of a resemblance. You know, they were attached to those persons, and having that attachment with them, that be having been there in their mind for a long time, that is now emerging and taking this direction. So that again is attachment, you see, because it is attachment to the body. They don't understand how the body is full of rubbish, full of trillions and trillions of germs, you see. It is just a plastic bag full of the garbage, you see. The worst it can be. Only it looks good from the outside, but inside if you peep, you can't smell. You will close your eyes. You will close your nose. And if you see, they say, "Madam, madam, my beloved, you are as beautiful as the moon." They used to say, but now they know that moon is not beautiful. So if they use the microscope to enlarge the face of the human being, they know, you see, about the condition of their face, how ugly, how bad. So if it is not attachment, what it is, you see. That is what I say.
Jatish Bhai, are you Nashtamoha, the complete story of attachment?
If I? Why you laugh? I am funny.
No, you're very realistic. That's nice.
I see. You know, the name is Jagdish Chandra Hasija. Hasija means one who goes on laughing. The word Hasija, if translated into English, means one who goes on laughing.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to, because my name is such. But why you laugh? I can't understand. Okay.
My question was, if you are Nashtamoha, the complete destroyer of attachment yourself already.
If I have to?
If you are the complete destroyer of attachment yourself already.
That you earlier also asked a question like that, you see. And I told you I would have been long ago in Paramdham if that had been there. I have very little attachment. Maybe very, 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 very little. But don't think when you meet me next time, if I say, "Sister, I love you, brother, I love you," and you will say, "Jagdish Bhai is saying something wrong." The other day he said from the stage, you know, that he does not like anybody, and today he is saying he really loves you. I love you. I really love you, deeply love you, because you are Baba's beloved children. Baba loves you. I love Baba and I love you. But you as a soul, not as a body. So my attachment is not for the body, nor even for the soul. But I have all the best wishes for you, and that natural love is there because I have no selfishness. I am not in race with you, not your competitor, not rival. I have no jealousy with you. So I love you. From that point of view, I love you. But otherwise, at the end of this Iron Age, this world is so rotten, so degenerated, so much polluted, you see. I don't like it at all. Whether it be human bodies, or it may be human nature, it is at the tail end of it, you see. Gone very, very wrong, very, very bad. That is why it takes so many years to transform ourselves. I came to this institution in 1952, and now it is 1999. How many years I have been, you see. So, getting transformed, that means there has been so much rubbish in me. It is taking me time to wash me off, clean up all those things. So also with all the people. So when I look at from that point of view, then I feel that everyone has got a load of karmic account on his head. Many negative things on the person, carrying on the chest. So from that point of view, I tell you, there is no attraction, I tell you. I don't have any attraction towards anybody. I don't know. People want even to shake hands, I tell you, I don't even want to shake hands. They want to hug each other, I don't want to hug anybody. They kiss each other, the question does not arise, you see. That is out of question for me. Because they just pass on the germs, their germs to me. And when they just shake hands with me, I don't know whether they have come from the toilets or what they have been. You see. Many people have very wrong kinds of habits. So, my first effort is, when I meet somebody, I say Om Shant. You see. So that I am not to do like this. But what can I do? If somebody has already spread it, then I have to give my hand to him. But then I have to go to my toilets and wash my hands. You see. To be clean of it. You see. Because this is the end of irony. In the golden age, every human being had a pure body. Pure body. The soul was pure, the body was pure. That I I love. Lot of difference between that body and this body. This is in its utter stage of degeneration. I have not come across with anyone as yet who is healthy, perfectly healthy, completely healthy. No. If someone claims that I have perfect health, I don't think. Either he has blood pressure or he has sugar. Or yes, this problem, that problem, or the other problem. Everyone is suffering. It can't be without it. In the end of Iron Age, this is what the fate is. Diseased persons, you see. So how can I feel attraction? How can I have attachment for anybody? No. When you know it, you see.
You also have a lot of problems with your own body last few years.
Yeah. So?
Sorry.
Anybody wants to share those? But I don't want to be problem to anyone. My problems are with me. Baba is solving them. I am capable of solving them. Actually, it is not a problem to me. It's something forcing. I tell you, I knew it number of years ago. When this thing will happen? What will be the last phase of my life? When? How much period it will be? How the end will come? So everything is working according to those calculations, that understanding. So it is not a surprise to me, and nor is a problem for me, because I was ready for it. I had been telling sisters and brothers that time is coming. Let me free. Now I no longer want to attend many conferences, this and that. Give me some time, I have to do certain other things. Because I know, and even otherwise I thought, a person in this Iron Age should not live for more than 70 years. Maximum 75 years. Because after that, he becomes dependent on others. Someone has to take care of him. And the intellect does not work properly. The body does not work efficiently. That much energy is not left, you see. He becomes problems for others. So even otherwise also I had a thought, I don't want to live much longer than that, you see. People have been laughing at me. They would say, why you think like that? But in my case, everything has been happening according to my understanding, as I understood it since long. I have already been making preparations for it and I am therefore ready. When Baba says that I should be ever ready, I am ever ready. If just here at this moment, at this stage, Baba wants to call me and send me somewhere else in new form of body, I don't mind it. I have no ambition. He has given me so much time for transforming myself. If I have not been able to do, it is my fault. I think he has been so graceful to me, so kind to me, so loving to me. He has guided me, done much favor to me. I was absolutely nothing, zero actually. And he has done everything for me. If still I demand something from him, I think it is shame for me. He has given me so much, and I have no words to express my gratefulness towards him. So, I am ready. Because I know what will happen, when it will happen, how the things will happen. I generally understood it in the case of others also sometime. But in my own particular case, I knew it beforehand, with Baba's grace, what is going to happen. And when that time came, it came, you see. So it is not that I am surprised or something happened unexpectedly, suddenly, no. It is as per the plan of drama. Baba gave it to me by touching, by some kind of premonition. Somehow or the other it was revealed to me. And even if somebody confirms it or not, I know very clearly what is going to happen and when. So there is no problem. You don't call it problem. It's not problem.
What is your age?
It's 70.
70.
You just are trying to find out how many years, maybe 1 year or 2 years. She wants to make a horoscope. Okay. Enough. All through my life I have been busy. I have not wasted any time. All the time I have been devoting to Baba's service. So I have done to the best of my capacity, you see. And not been bad to other people, trying to help them, to guide them, to do little service for them, you see. Not doing many wrong things for me, so that I have not much repentance in me. So it is okay, I am fulfilled. He has given me so much, blessed me so much. So I don't feel that there is something which is still wanted. Baba gave me another few years to live, you see. Prolong my life. People may say you may have long life and so on. Let them say. It is a natural way of telling people, expressing their sympathy, good wishes. That is, in a customary way they say like that. But whether I live for a long way, it will be a curse. If I live say for 85 or 90 years, it will be a curse to me. I don't want to live. If my teeth don't work properly, eyes don't work properly, ears don't work properly, stomach does not work properly. It's not that everything is not working properly, don't feel that. But if it happens, it's better that I go before that, you see. Why not? Why should I be attached to my body? Now even about the ears, it came suddenly. Someone was firing the crackers, you see, in the street where the center is. And they used an item which is a banned item. There was a big blast. I was passing that. So the blast affected my ears. So Baba says, don't hear, you see. Don't hear. He wants me to be in more silence, you see. It is for my benefit. That's all. And else, otherwise, whenever there is need, I can hear. There are scientific things. I can use it. That's all. Maybe that I was listening too much to other people and you say stop. I stop. Okay. You see.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
And I think on behalf of everyone, I like to say we love you. I think so. Don't you? Yes.
Thank you. So I may have said certain things to you which may not be to your liking or which you might think they are perhaps this, that or not that quality. Forget about it and excuse me, pardon me please. In my own way, I have tried to express whatever I feel, frankly, plainly, clearly.
Very honest, very
Thank
nice.
You,
you like 5 minutes questions, maybe?
Okay.
The question is, can you describe the process of self-forgiveness? And secondly, how to trigger the emotion of love for God?
Process of forgiveness.
Self-forgiveness.
I think there are certain questions, you know, they need to be corrected. It is not that every question is to be answered. Maybe certain questions are not properly framed, or there is something which needs to be added or amended. Now, what exactly do we mean by self-forgiveness? You see, except that it is forgetfulness, forgetting. Baba says, past is past. That's all. So that is what is required. I can't forgive myself. A criminal cannot forgive himself. It is for the judge to forgive him.
or those who have been harmed by the crime, it is for them to forgive him. If the criminal wants to forgive himself, it has no meaning. But in order that I may make progress, be a better person in the future, what is required is that I get detached from the past. I say there was some blunder I committed in the past. Now I won't do this. So there can be repentance. There can be realization. There can be determination. But not self-forgiveness, I suppose. It's not that I should forgive myself. That's what I understand.
Second question was asking, how can you trigger the emotion of loving God?
Paramatma ke liye, how can you trigger the emotion of loving God? How can you trigger emotion of love for God? Paramatma ke liye apne andar pyar kaise jagrut kare?
Kaise pyar prabhu?
Jagrut kaise kare?
Actually, love is of many kinds. It is not of one kind. But it is a subject apart which requires to be dealt with at length. To a small question, the answer has to be small. And I would say, briefly, that when someone gives you so much, then you love. This is what generally people call it love, you see. Somebody is nice to us, speaks nice words to us, on our birthday sends greetings to us, or calls us on the phone and says, happy birthday to you, sends some gift to us, our family members make a cake for us, invite a party and so on. So giving love, expressing their love, expressing their concern for our well-being, and giving us gifts and so many other things, then you love them. This is worldly kind of love. Only one kind of love. It will stay only as long as they give you. And when they just are in such a situation, they can't give you. Or when they no longer feel that they should go on all the time giving to you, there are some other people whom they should give now, and so on. So then you may think that they no longer love you, and your love also may be reduced. That is a different kind of love. But in this case, when I say of love for Baba, now those people Baba has been expressing in the Murli, those people expect something. They think in our days of need, this person will help us. They have some hopes in us that we will also be of use to them someday or the other. In their hour of need, we will help them. But Baba's love is without any selfish motive. Not only is that self, without self-motive, selfishness, but it is unlimited. Not only it is unlimited, it does not vanish sometimes, come again sometimes. You see, it stays. It is constant. Baba keeps us loving. And he gives us so much, so that we have no words to express for 2500 years. And again expressing his love to us, sweet children, loving children, beloved children, and so on. And we are naughty children, wicked children, not trying to be up to the mark as he expects us. But even then, he does not cease to love us. He does not cease to love us. So, that kind of love Baba gives us. When that is the case, then our response also has to be love. Love is a response in this case, you see. One, love is naturally born. The other, it is a response. Now some people love something because they love it. Someone asks you, why you love the road? He said, because I love it. You see. There is no reason, no logic, no philosophy behind it. I love the road because I love it. So you have natural love for some. And then you love some others as a response. Now, you love Baba in the response to His being so kind, gracious and loving to you. This is one thing. Secondly, therefore I said it is a big subject. If you just think, whosoever a person loves, why does that person love? You see, there must be some reason. He hates another thing and loves this person. There are many things. So one of the things is the beauty. The beauty. Beauty also makes us love something, you see. So God being the purest, eternally purest, in thought, word and deed, they say handsome is one who does handsome. So God being the, having those qualities, therefore also we love Him naturally. Being He our father, being our mother, being our teacher, being our guide, our helper, love comes to us. And we love to Him as a response also.
Shall I read? When people you trust deceive you, how do you feel and how to keep a big heart and be loving?
When people you trust deceive you, how do you feel, how to keep a big heart and keep loving them?
I think the first requirement is that you should be prepared for it. Because the world is such, as I already told you, it should not be a surprise to you. Sometimes we are shocked. There is no reason for being shocked. This is something which will happen. That is why it is called the end of iron age. You see, don't feel shocked. So, the first is the preparation. This is what makes you immune towards their treatment, when they treat you like this. And the second thing is, the karma philosophy enables us to respond in a loveful way, because we know that they are not our leaders. We are not to follow them. We are to follow Baba. As human beings, they have their failures, their weaknesses. So this person being dishonest and being hypocrite or having some other bad things, he deceived us. if he deceived us, then it is our fault also. Why? If somebody deceives us, isn't it a sign that we are not, awake, alert, that we let people exploit us, let them deceive us. So I think we should turn towards ourselves also, that we should be having proper judgment of people. Try to have contact with only those people who are really good, genuine people. Why in the first instance you form company with those people who deceive? You are not good judge of human beings. That is your fault also. But in any case, since they have deceived you, now what can you do? What can you do? To cry over spilt milk is no use. Now you can learn a lesson. Some lessons are learned by paying something, by spending an amount, some money. Some other lessons are learned by study, by making some effort, devoting some attention. So this lesson that you should not be deceived by others in future, even if they have deceived you, if you just receive this lesson, you have paid for it and learned a lesson. So be happy, don't worry.
Yesterday you said in class that samskar is the most difficult thing to transform. Why is that so?
कल आपने कहा कि अपने संस्कार को परिवर्तन करना सबसे कठिन बात है. क्यों?
Because you cannot lift the chair in which you are sitting. Can you lift the chair in which you are sitting? Anyone of you can do this miracle? I am sitting in this sofa. As long as I am sitting in this sofa, I can't lift it up. Can I do? I can't. So the sanskaras are very much in the mind, sitting in the mind. So how can they get it out, take themselves up and go away from there? They are deeply entrenched. They have set their camps in it. So they are not going to go, you see. They have taken possession of a particular piece of land. Some people have done it. So they don't leave it easily. it is very difficult to throw them out. Vested interest, as they say. So those evil and vices have vested interest in you. Moreover, they are deeply entrenched in you. And they have set their camps in you. They have been there for a long time, and they say possession is 9/10 of the law. Possession is 9/10 of the law. So they think that legally our mind belongs to them because it is under their possession. They don't leave it easily. Therefore it is difficult. Then again, the worst thing is we put obstacles. The greatest obstacle in self-transformation is that our mind becomes divided. They say union is strength. If your mind gets divided, sometimes you say, take the case of a person who takes alcohol. Sometimes he thinks he will give up alcohol. At other times he says, not yet, after a year, let me enjoy my life. His mind is divided. So when the mind is divided, how can it score a victory? It cannot. When the forces, the army of a country is divided among itself, that country cannot emerge victorious. So the greatest obstacle is that there is a conflict in the mind. The mind is fighting with its own self. A divided house, as you can say. The mind is working like a divided house. That is why it is difficult. Take the case of Alexander the Great I was mentioning. Now he was at the head of such big army. Came to India, conquered many places. A big general. Earlier on, he had conquered many other territories. He wanted to become the king of the whole landmass, the world. Now he died at a very young age. Why he died? Because he was addicted very badly to alcohol. His doctors, his relatives had been warning him, don't take it so much. He could not control it. He could control the big army. He could control other things, you see. A great leader, a commander. But he could not command his own mind, you see. Because he was divided. Why divided? He wanted to have alcohol. I should not take alcohol, he said to himself. Otherwise I will die. But I must take to alcohol. Because after all I have to die one day. So if I have to die one day, why not take alcohol? Let me take it much more. Because otherwise also I am to die. So when his mind is fighting with its own self, how can there be victory? That is the problem.
In your class yesterday, you said that one of the things you have to pay attention to is not being ambitious. Because when somebody is over ambitious, it will lead to conflict. Now the question is, how should we transform a feeling of ambition?
How should we transform the feeling of ambition?
Yeah. I said, even if you have ambition, at least don't be over ambitious, you see. I also added this. Now, actually in psychology, there is a process called sublimation or transformation. You have to sublimate your instincts, certain wrong tendencies in your you. So you have to sublimate this ambition. The ambition is there. Now you should use this ambition for opening centers, for sending this message to so many people, for being a great instrument of service. So you better transform your ambition in this way. You are an artist. Earlier you wanted to do some paintings and just hold your exhibitions and earn a name and fame. That was the ambition of your life. One day I will become like Picasso or this art or the other person, you know. But now, when you have to give up this, I will become Baba's artist. This is the greatest. I don't want to become like Michelangelo, you see. I want to become Baba's artist. This art should give Baba's message, you see. It should do service. Have that kind of ambition. So ambition is to be used for a nobler cause. a better purpose, a higher aim. Earlier the aim was just short-lived, name and fame for a few years in life. It will take many years to do so many paintings, then to put up so many exhibitions. Maybe then the people become aware of it, they like it. And then perhaps at the end, towards the close of your life, they may think that you are a good artist. Many good artists were not recognized during their lifetime. It was after they passed away, you see. So even if you have ambition to become a world famous artist, possible or not possible, you don't know. It is therefore better to use it for service of the humankind, for a better cause, you see. Take for example poverty eradication, eradication of drug addiction. If you can, by means of the medium of art, give this message to people so that people get transformed, just having a look at the painting you did, and the newspapers accept it, the periodicals use it, TV people show it, it's so hitting, you see. Then you have done really something great, you see. So sublimation is the way.
Last question. Do you have any advice for those souls who came late in Gyan? Because this person says, you have been given the fortune to transform yourself for many years. What can you advise those who are young in Gyan to transform themselves over a short period, especially since the Iron Age is almost over?
This again requires to be dealt with at great length, because this is a question of many people. They feel about it, that they came late in Gyan. Baba was not playing role in Sakar at that time. They could not see him. They just listened to his biography. And they missed so many important world events, which later all the people will come to know. So they missed so much. They feel like that. But as I told you, it again needs to be dwelt at length. But one thing I am to say, to be brief, is now whatever time is left, don't waste a single minute. Don't waste a single minute, because it is precious. Those who came number of years ago, many of them, not all of them, many of them wasted their time. They were slack in their effort, thinking that there is still much time left. But if you have heightened awareness that the time left is very short, and you don't lose even a single moment in negative things and just in idleness, in laziness, you just use it for service, for meditation, for studying and so on, then I think you will not be late. Baba says you will not be late. Some of them can still be in the rosary, and some of them can still be at least in those 16,108, or maybe in the first million or so, you see. Still there is chance, but the main thing is that you must not lose your time, waste your time. That's it.
Thank you.
So I can go?
No.
I am under arrest. They say you can't go. I thought they would send me on parole, but even that also they don't do.